textbooks, reducing the lecture content in half, and having small group learning where they take that 85-year-old person with congestive heart failure in a virtual or real way, have students from pharmacy, nursing, allied health, and medicine work together towards understanding how that patient would be cared for and what the underlying pathophysiology is. Ditto integrating research, I want to say, with strong support of the provost and chancellor. We have a successful translational science center. We are completing a cancer center on all campuses. We have an award to train new faculty. And finally, we're developing the data warehouse. These are the four legs that distinguishes the top 25 health science centers in the country from the other programs. This is something we're doing. This is something where we have a tremendous advantage by virtue of collaboration. Let me just say a word about that. In developing these centers, we have been working with Urbana, the Supercomputer Center, the College of Engineering, the Organic Chemist, a variety of people, working with those in the Chicago campus. This kind of integration of our resources or synergy is what is getting us the large awards. And this is the kind of things we have to do in order to move forward into the next century. What are the challenges? As Trustee Carroll, you and I discussed last night, when we give $50 or $60 million in charity care, combining our hospital care and our physician services, that is money we don't have to invest in building a new hospital or providing for new faculty, et cetera. So we have a crucial decision. We have done public service because we have identified it, accepted it, and continued it as our mission long after the state resources for supporting that mission had passed. We do have to break down the towers. The future of Academic Medical Center is through synergy, not through separate programs and departments. We really need public recognition, and inherently we already have a problem you all know. We are UIC as well as the University of Illinois Medical Center. We had a problem in Peoria and Rockford where our medical schools were referred to as the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Medicine at Rockford, and it's just too much. We need a single brand. We need to show that brand around the state in all 102 counties. And finally, to take a word out of the Harvard Business Review from a few years ago, part of our future is coopetition. How do we find partners, private and public, and we're partnered with 31 hospitals in the state, how do we find partners where in some areas we may be competing, and in many other areas we're working cooperatively? I note County and Rush are working with us on our cancer efforts. This is a step in the right direction. These are the kind of things we have to do to show the people of Chicago and the state that we are working, but also they yield tremendous dividends in collaboration. The chancellor is really heading that thing towards moving towards synergy among the colleges and also in the region. And I'll answer questions later. I know John DiNardo will be presenting his part of it right now.
So let me pick up on some of the areas that Joe talked about. And you know, when we're here at the hospital committee meeting, sometimes I wonder if people realize that we are a lot more than the building at 1740 West Taylor. And if you take a look at this, I put this diagram together to begin to think about the fact of all that we have, all that we do, and that all that all of us in this room are responsible for. And Joe talked a little bit about the health science colleges, but do you think that the majority of the students who come through our health science colleges will receive a portion of their experiential training in our hospital and our medical center? But also know that we have students from the College of Business, we have students from Art and Architecture, and it was a couple of years ago that we brought in students from Art and Architecture to take a look at our lobby. to think about, are there better ways to deal with our lobby? And I kind of like to think that it was that impetus that we had several years ago that led UIC to go on and develop a course, in fact, a degree in hospital architecture and healthcare architecture. The second thing is educational affiliates. And as Joe mentioned, we have many of these, Rush, Mercy, Weiss, the VA, a huge partner for us. At some later board meetings, there will be reports from us on our affiliation agreements where we train residents and students. But it's important to know that a lot of our educational work goes on through our affiliates. Our federally qualified health centers, these are our community-based clinics. We currently have 11 right now. On the agenda today is the approval of the lease for our 12th, which will be in the Cicero neighborhood. We're really proud of that. We competed for and successfully got about $750,000 from the federal government to open our next federally qualified healthcare center. What do these community centers do? They bring our academic quality care into the neighborhoods. We staff these in conjunction with our College of Medicine, College of Nursing, our College of Pharmacy, and this really brings care into the neighborhood. People are cared for regardless of source of payment or income, and a lot of these are structured for walk-in types of care. So people don't need an appointment, they can come in and access care. And in some communities, like on 71st and Jeffrey on the far south side of Chicago, we actually have a dental practice in there where for some areas it's hard for people without insurance or income to access dental services. Our offsite practices, these are as diverse as our ophthalmology practice that's on North Michigan Avenue, a plastic surgery practice that's out in the suburb of Elmhurst, as well as Rockford, where we are using our electronic medical record system to integrate what's happening in Rockford. And we successfully, in conjunction with the College of Medicine, have now established a telemedicine program with the Department of Corrections. You think about this, Joe talked a little bit about the 85-year-old who might have to come in. Think about a service that right now, today, when people who are in the custody of the Department of Corrections need health care, currently they need to be brought to our medical center. And generally, every prisoner has at least two guards. With this telemedicine initiative, what we hope to accomplish in conjunction with the Department of Corrections is to be able to take care of prisoners, as many as possible, remotely. So it reduces costs for transportation of patients, it brings services immediately available to them, and it frees up some extra time for us for additional appointments. So this is something we are really excited about, and if in fact this works as well as we think it will, the ability to now move University of Illinois care into other reaches of the state is dramatically multiplied. Our on-campus ambulatory care sites, these are buildings some of you have seen, our outpatient care center, the real cornerstone of where we do our outpatient practice. About 450,000 visits occur in that building. Our eye and ear infirmary, one of our keynote highlight, can't say enough about, well-recognized programs and probably one of the worst buildings that we have that we need to work on, our sports medicine center and our South Campus development. And lastly, coming back to the hospital. So what I wanted to at least get across on this slide is for everybody to realize when we talk about the hospital committee, we are responsible for a large healthcare enterprise that in fact will provide over 600,000 visits. If we go to the next slide, just to take a look at some of the numbers, the beds change, outpatient care center 1999. We put 12 community-based federally qualified health centers. We're real excited about our new Cicero site and getting that activated. And as Walter mentioned, that 3144, which was in November, is now down a little bit from November, but I'm proud to say that all of the work that we've done to reduce costs and increase efficiency, we have done through adequately managing turnover. So we have been able to reduce our staff, not by major layoffs like we've seen other healthcare systems do, but by really controlling and managing our turnover. And every time a position becomes vacant, the supervisors know that they will be questioned on the fact, why do we need to fill that position today? Cannot we do this job another way? And especially taking a look at the technology that we have. Last year, we had 123,000 unduplicated patients. What does that mean? 123,000 individual people came to us for care last year. Now, obviously, some of them came more than once. about 123,000 individual people came to us last year. They came from 89 of our Illinois counties, but they also came nationally as well as internationally. There are some of our programs for which we do get patients who travel internationally to come to us for services. This is the ethnicity mix of our patients. It's a very diverse population. And this is the payer mix of our patients. As you can see, about 40% of our patients are on public aid, about 5% are self-pay, and for us, self-pay is just another way of saying no pay. So about 45% of our patients are really, really economically disadvantaged. And I want to go back to one of the comments that Dr. Eikenberry made in the beginning of the program. If you take a look at the mix of our patients, and you take a look at the economic condition of our patients, if you want to have something to feel good about, in the time that we have been sitting here today, how many people who would otherwise not have access to high-quality academic care are receiving it today because of us? And I think that's something that we really do need to be proud of. It's something that we need to push and something that we need to protect. Let me put this last slide up here, and I'm going to not spend a whole heck of a lot of time on this. It was just to raise a new issue. And one of the things that as Dr. Kortz mentioned when he gave the overview of what we did yesterday, is to bring forward to you the fact that while we do talk about things, we actually do accomplish things. So last month we talked about the intergovernmental agreement and how we were trying to get that moved along, why we needed to move that along. The board approved that. I'm happy to report that yesterday we received the final signature from the Department of Health Care and Family Services. That signed agreement is working its way back to us. That was a major, major accomplishment. I thank the board and all the people for allowing that to happen, and that should help our funding to continue move along unobstructed for this year for our Medicaid patients. The other thing I want to mention is this is the phasing strategy for our total strategic plan for the replacement of our buildings on our campus. I'm not going to spend a lot of time today except to say that at the last meeting we came to you and asked for permission to go ahead and begin the process to advertise for the master architect engineer to begin coordinating the work that was going to go on to renovate our current hospital building. Happy to report that is moving on, and I don't know if it's posted yet, but if not, it will be posted shortly. And hopefully we'll be back to you at the July board meeting to ask for your approval to go ahead with hiring the master AE. Walter mentioned our financial performance so far to date. It's been good, but you know, I'm always worried about the things that can go bad, and so we continue to stay focused. But one of the things that we talked about yesterday at the hospital committee is we cannot stall the renovation of our current building. So in consultation with Walter and Doug and some of the other folks, we are taking some of the profit that we've made. We did get that $5.5 million check from Medicare because our transplant volume is going up. We are the largest, approaching the largest transplant program in the city of Chicago, certainly as published in the Tribune, having the best outcomes. So we're banking as much money as we can bank so that as we go into fiscal 11, if need be, if the financial conditions aren't right to go out to the bond market, that we will have a sufficient cash balance that we can get this project started with our own cash and maybe kind of reduce some of the financial worry that you have, at least for the first year. So let me end there. Both Joe and I are available if anybody has any questions. And again, I'd just like to end with thanking you for your support. It's been really good to see the energy and the enthusiasm and the support that we're getting to drive our what we certainly consider our vital mission forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I would say that the board very much appreciates the thoroughness of those presentations. Some of us have participated in some of that overview before, and I'd say every time we're exposed to any of the work that you all are doing, we all come away very impressed, so we appreciate that. Thank you. Are there any specific questions?
Any other members of the committee wish to say anything? Thank you, gentlemen, for excellent presentations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think at this point, I think there are a couple of matters that we need to discuss that are related to employment, some appointments, and then litigation.
Minutes of executive session.
No. What's that?
Minutes of executive session. No litigation.
There's no litigation?
No.
Okay. We're just going to discuss minutes of executive sessions.